which is a very similar case, Taylor versus Cavalry Investment.
Good morning once again, Your Honors. David Phillips for the plaintiff in this matter. This case has two issues. There's an amount of debt issue, and there's also an overshadowing issue. As we all know, under Section 1692G of the Fair Debt Act, there are several things that our debt collectors are required to effectively communicate. One is the right to dispute a debt within 30 days, and also then there's the duty to state clearly the amount of debt that the debt collector is trying to collect. In this collection letter, the letter asked or demanded that the consumer act now to satisfy the debt. Now is a period less than 30 days, and I think that that, under this court's teachings in Bartlett versus Heibel, Chauncey versus JDR, and Abel versus Rubin, violates the Fair Debt Act. In all those cases, there was a definitive time period to pay the debt before the 30-day period expired.
Well, I wonder about the act now to satisfy this debt. Isn't that kind of puffing? I mean, you know, buy now before prices rise. Do you really think that discourages people from...
It's a little politer, Your
because
Honor.
Because the next sentence goes on and says, you know, unless you notify us within 30 days. So, and the following paragraph also, and the third paragraph. So you have three paragraphs which make clear they have 30 days to challenge.
Sure, but I know all those other cases of Bartlett, Avila, and Chauncey, you know, they had the full 30-day provision in there.
Yeah, but this is...
This is a little politer than some of them. But Chauncey, I think, is, you know, in that case, it was paid by 30 days.
It's hard to imagine someone getting all nervous by...
Well, it's not a question of nervous. It's not a question of being nervous or upset.
I mean, do they stop then? They don't read the following paragraph?
No, I think you read the following paragraph and go, am I supposed to act now, or do I have 30 days to act?
No, that doesn't sound...
And I think that that's the problem. And I would point out to Your Honors that another panel of this circuit is considering a similar case where the collection letter demanded that said the amount was now due twice. That's the case of Schultz and Olson versus Risk Management, as argued before Judges Coffey, Connie, and Evans on January 15th.
Schultz and Olson?
Yes, Your Honor. Versus Risk Management Alternatives.
Argued when? What date?
January 15th.
Is that one of your cases?
Yes, Your Honor. And it's case number, appeal number 03-2850. It also has an amount of the debt claim in it, too, a different kind of amount of the debt claim. I think that, once again, they needed to effectively convey the 30-day notice, and that this one, albeit not as threatening as some of the others, does present the potential for confusion here. Well, of course, we never got anywhere near any consumer testimony because we decided on a motion judgment on the pleadings. But there is no need for a threatening contradiction. That was decided by the Second Circuit in the Russell versus Equifax case, a case that this circuit has repeatedly cited with approval in both, I believe, was cited in Bartlett with approval and in Chauncey. And I then move on to the second argument, which is the amount of the debt. I think in this case, as I did before in the Academy cases, that this letter doesn't pass muster because, you know, it goes on besides just stating here's the amount that's due. It again has this contingent interest of accrued interest or other charges. And here, unlike the Academy cases, they're the creditor now. This debt collector, what's colloquially referred to as a scavenger, they bought this debt, and they own the debt, so they should know whether there's interest accruing and when it's accruing and that sort of thing. So I think that this letter violates, and it should be remanded in accord with this circuit decision in Shuway.
Okay, thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Ms. Maddox?
May I please the court? My name is Joan Mannix, and I represent the defendant appellee, Cavalry Investment. I'll just address the points that were raised by the plaintiff in the order in which they raised. I respectfully submit that there is nothing the least bit confusing or directly contradictory, contrary to the plaintiff's assertion, with regard to the act now to satisfy the stat language that over...
It's unusual, though, to decide these cases on a motion to dismiss, though, isn't it? Shouldn't he be able to have an opportunity to provide evidence or something that looks harmless, but if you peer deeply into the debtor's mind, you'll find they're terrified when they see act now?
Your Honor, it was actually decided on a motion for judgment on the pleadings.
Well, that's the same thing. I mean, it's no... didn't even get to the summary judgment stage.
However, Your Honor, and Walker, this court had indicated that a complaint that attaches a copy of the debt letter can be considered, and that's Walker versus National Recovery, can be considered a motion for summary judgment. The court was trying to make the point that although we find that generally the question of confusion is a question of fact and isn't necessarily readily disposable on a 12B6 motion, that doesn't mean that the proceedings have to be prolonged, and that once there's...
But are you saying that this motion for judgment on the pleas got converted to a motion for summary judgment?
I don't believe that we're exactly saying that. It's just that they never took the position that there was any evidence they wanted to introduce. They never argued or asserted that there were questions of fact or questions that precluded a resolution of this case's judgment on the
Are you saying their position is it's confusing on its face?
That's exactly what they've argued.
So it's just as...
They've essentially...
Which face we like.
That's exactly what they did. They never asserted before the district court that they that there was confusion, that they wanted to introduce evidence of confusion, which is seen in a lot of the other decisions of the court where there's an assertion by the plaintiff that they were precluded an opportunity from either taking discovery or proffering off evidence of confusion. At a minimum, they had the opportunity or to submit or suggest that the plaintiff in this case was confused. There was nothing along those lines. There was never an assertion by them that they required discovery in order to determine whether there was confusion. They treated it throughout as though it was a case that should be decided on its face as a matter of law, and asserted repeatedly in their briefs that they thought they should be, although they never moved for judgment on things, that if you know anybody was entitled to judgment, it was them, and that this was not a question of fact as to confusion, notwithstanding the prior cases of this court that have generally said that that is the question. We agree with them that this is not a case that requires or even raises a fact issue as to confusion. It is, as the court noted, you know, nothing more than, there's no question that there's like, this is a Bartlett case or an Avila case where it says, you know, if you don't pay in 10 days, you're in big trouble. Or, you know, you may have these rights, you know, pursuant to the validation notification, but we want our money in 30 days nonetheless. There's no direct confusion. There's no demand for payment in less than 30 days. It's a statement that, you know, immediately follows, as the district court noted, a request that you, or a suggestion that you can speak to the account representative and try and work something out on this case. With regard to the second point, this is only a question because what amounts to an ingenious type misreading. The document clearly states that the total balance due as of the date of the letter, the amount stated, the statement that the account may periodically be increased due to accrued interest or other charges does not state that any charges will be added. The letter indicates that there is no accrued interest
but
and
why
no
don't,
charges.
Why doesn't the industry like our safe harbor language?
I can't explain that, Your Honor. I like your safe harbor language. But I think that it's
not confusing enough. Probably.
It's shortly after, that was the safe harbor language was decided in 2000, the 2001 letter. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they just didn't get around to changing their debt collection letters. In any event, the court has made clear, and it's
right,
expressly recognized in Miller, it's not a requirement, and the court will still consider letters that don't contain the safe harbor letter, or they won't, you know, find a violation even if the safe harbor language is not used.
Well, since you love our language, you'll make sure the word gets out to the industry.
I'll do my level best, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Manning. So, Mr. Phillips, how much time does he have? A minute or so?
Judge, regarding the judgment on the pleadings, the district court treated this as a motion to dismiss. It did not convert it to summary judgment. We did discuss with the district court whether we would go ahead with discovery on this, and the court said no. It didn't want anyone to take any discovery.
Did you respond to the motion and say, you know, we want to put in evidence?
No, Your Honor, we did not. We treated it as a motion to dismiss. We thought it was faulty on its face. And I think that this collection letter has those two problems on it, on its face, and I'd urge you to remand the case.
But when you say on its face,
we state a claim, Your Honor, and whether we can win the claim is another issue.
But do you think you need evidence, or do you think the fact that, mm-hmm. or do you think having attached the death letter to your complaint, did you mean to suggest that you just have to read the letter and you know it?
On one of the claims, I think so. I think on the overshadowing claim, it's clear on its face. I think on the amount of debt claim, we would have submitted affidavits just like we did in Chu-A, showing that actual consumer confusion. That's right, Your Honor.
And after the court indicated that you should not take any discovery, was any kind of motion made? Was there a formal motion in some way made to the court? Indicating that you wanted to get discovery or do discovery.
No, Your Honor.
Before this motion was decided.
No, Your Honor. Okay. There was no formal motion made. We thought that this failed as it's being treated as a motion to dismiss. If the court had converted it to a summary judgment motion, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Then we did have to come forward with some scintilla evidence to bat the ball back over to tennis court. It wasn't treated that way. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much to both counsel. Case will be taken under advisement, and court will be in recess until 9:30 tomorrow.